Let me tell you, you ever see vinegar in oil? Huh? Pour vinegar, pour oil, what happens?
It explodes.
What happens? What happens to the vinegar and the oil? They separate, right? Oh. One goes on the top, one stays on the bottom. I can't remember which one goes where. I think the oil's on the bottom, right? There you go. So, and, but what happens is, you cannot steal, you can't lie, and you can't jealously hurt somebody if Jesus Christ is first in your life. You get what I'm saying? But that comes by an intimate relationship with Him. Now, we are starved in our character when we compromise our standards and deny God's rightful place in our society. God is a what? God is a what?
Jealous.
He's a righteous God. He abhors sin. Do you sin? Does anybody in here say, I'm not a sinner? Let me see your hand, please. You're not a sinner. I'll talk to you later. But let me tell you something. We're all sinners, saved by grace, those that know. There may be one, two, or three in this room. I don't know who, but the Lord knows your heart. Someone in this room may not know the Lord Jesus. But let me tell you something. We're starving in our families when we deny love, respect, and fellowship with one another. You got family members? Do you love your brother? Do you love your sister? Do you love your mama? Do you love your daddy? Do you love your aunt and uncles? Do you show them love? How are they starving here? Many new believers rush into God's presence with their shopping list and ask, give me this or give me that. Lord, I need this new thing. Lord, I got a bad test. I got this. I got that. Oh, is that how we pray? Huh? We're going to look into this. Others begin with, I'm sorry. Forgive me for the sin. Oh, well, these are all things that we're all saying all the time. As you grow and as you mature, you get older, get some hair on your head, gray hair, you begin to learn things. The Lord teaches you things. And you learn through by coming to camps and reading your Bible. But you see, the command is to worship God, but men do not worship God. Worship God. Worship is given to God, that worship that is due Him. He's entitled to that. He's entitled. When you say, hallowed be thy name, you're recognizing who He is. He's not my buddy that I talk trash with on the street, or you hear in school, or the way you may approach somebody joking around. He is the Creator. He is the God who gave His Son, the Lord Jesus, to come into the scene. His name is hallowed. Now, God wants us to praise Him. He wants us to praise Him. How do we praise Him? Well, John 4:23, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. You know God wants you in these chairs here, you who is drifting in la-la land, He wants you to what? To worship Him. You hear what I'm saying? He wants you to worship Him. God desires that we praise Him. He is greater than your fears, your problems, your needs. Sometimes, you know, I know sometimes we go through a difficult time. I lost my job for a year. Was it fearful? With six children, it was fearful. Well, do you know something? Especially when they eat like horses. But do you know something? I'll tell you something. But God knows everything. He's sovereign over everything. He knows your greatest fears. He knows your trials. He knows your tribulations. Yet so many just do not pray for many reasons. Why don't we pray? Some are ignorant. Well, I don't know nothing about prayer. Well, you see, you can't give me that now. You've been in this room. You've been in since 9 o'clock this morning after 8. You've been filling your head, your heart, with what? Knowledge about prayer. So you may have some preconceptions about prayer. Many of you probably know a great deal about it. But you learn more and more and more. That's what the Lord wants. Some are rebellious. You ever see rebellious people? I'm not praying. My mother died and I love her. Why did you do that to me? Took my job away. Right? But you know, some are too busy because of the cares of the world. Oh, I gotta go here, I gotta go there, I can't take time. Later, Lord, later. Maybe when I go to bed tonight. Some have forgotten because other things crowd in. They're too busy putting the Lord last. But you know something? The Lord Jesus is tenderly waiting. He loves to hear the praises of you. He loves for you to come to Him and say, Lord Jesus, Oh, how I love you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross. He loves to hear you. He wants to hear you. But you know, back in the Old Testament, we see that Peter used Peter because Peter, many times, he watched the Lord. Oh, you know, I read the Bible and I read about Peter. He brings a smile on my face. I think about Peter and I think, oh, thank the Lord for Peter. But Peter, he saw the Master withdraw. We heard him this morning, brother, talk about him withdrawing. He withdraw to a place to pray. What do you mean withdraw to a place to pray? What do we mean by that?
But whoops, I heard the backwards. There we go. Well, how do you go backwards here, bro?
Brother Mark, you're robbing my time, brother. How do you go back? I don't even know this thing works. There you go. Okay, the Lord prayed because he treasured fellowship with his Father. Do you treasure? What does treasure mean? What, Kate? When you read the Bible, it's a treasure. What is treasure, brother?
Hold something of high value.
It has a what?
High value.
Has a high value. A high value. You know, how many of you have been in the Smithsonian? Anybody been in the Smithsonian? I went to the Smithsonian. I think they had the Hope Diamond. Wow. Treasure. Ooh, wow. You know, people were oohing and wowing. But that treasure is nothing compared to this treasure. Because guess what? Do you know that this world we're in here, we're just passing on through? Well, you're an American citizen? Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. Got your passport, I'm American? Good. But you know, it means nothing. Because this is not our home. We're passing through. We're heading on to our home. But while we're passing through here, we want to remember that one, that precious one, the Lord Jesus. We want to have fellowship with him. We want to have fellowship with the Father, because it was the Father that said, not that you first loved me, but that I first loved you. That I first loved you. He saw the Lord, he watched the Lord. And the disciples heard Jesus preach about prayer. But not only did they hear him preach, but they wanted a private session. Lord, I'd like to learn about how to pray. Peter was a man who was eager. We saw his eagerness throughout the scripture. We saw that he was expectant. He wanted things. And he says, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. But everybody in here, including myself at one point, we thought we could just... And listen, he does hear everything you're saying. But he's given us a godly order in this prayer. And that's what we're going to learn. A little bit of godly order is what we want to see. But you see here, the Lord could have given and used many examples for them. He could have said, well, let me show you and model Daniel's prayer. Or he could have used Joshua or Jabez. Let me teach you about those prayers. Did he use that? No, he didn't. He didn't do that. But what he did do was he gave us a model of prayer. Jesus knew they first had to understand the principles of prayer. Can you do multiplication without understanding addition and subtraction?
Yes.
Can you do calculus without understanding the basic fundamentals of mathematics?
No.
No. Can you be a doctor if all you did was work at McDonald's and you never went to school? And say, I'm ready for medical school, I've been flipping hamburgers. That's not going to happen. God had principles of prayer that we had to understand. And he didn't use the prayers of Daniel, Joshua, Jacob, or anybody else. And he gave them to us through the prayer of Jesus, or the Lord's prayer. And you know, the Lord gave them, and you and I, a pattern to pray. And we're going to look at this pattern very soon. They learned the pattern so well that the Bible tells me they turned Rome upside down. You ever been to Rome? How many people have been to Rome? Raise your hand. Anybody? Now, I grew up overseas. My daddy worked for the airline. So we had to live with the people. We didn't have the privilege of being on a nice military base and having all those things. We had to live with the people. We had to boil our water. We had to go to the lunch meeting. We had to go buy the meat on there, cut it right off the cow. Let me tell you something. That Roman Empire, as I walked the streets of Italy, and I went into Rome, and I saw the Colosseum, I saw all this stuff, and I thought in my mind, back then, wow. Now I remember the same little slideshow that's in my head, because I wasn't saved then. I didn't grow up with a godly family. Didn't my mom and dad and brother and sister, nobody saved. But I remember seeing that on fire now in my head. I'm thinking, wow, they turned it upside down. Why? Because they learned how to pray.